You're listening to the Hour of the Time, the last place in this world where you can hear freedom of speech and truth. I'm William Cooper. I want to remind everyone that our convention conference is coming up August the 1st through the 5th. And if you want to be a part of that, you had better get your registration fee in. For CAGI members or intelligence service members, it's $100. For intelligence service members who have a family membership, it's $150. Everyone else, $250 for the 5 days. This fee does not include transportation, meals, or lodging. Folks, all that stuff is up to you. We have a packet that we mail out as soon as you send in your registration fee, giving you a list of all of the places to stay, all of the places to eat, and also campgrounds, RV sites, and there are a lot of them, real nice ones too, as a matter of fact. Lyman Lake is only 10 miles down the road, and some of those beautiful campsites, full hookups with showers, and right on a nice, beautiful lake where you can go fishing in the evening and catch your dinner if you want to. Make sure that you have a fishing license, because there's a lot of game wardens around here just waiting to catch somebody who doesn't have one from out of state, because those fines are big ones. You know what I mean, folks? And if you have reclaimed your sovereignty and know how to fight it in court, that's up to you. Also, remember that the Intelligence Service membership is also open. And it's $100 for a single membership, $150 for family membership. We are not taking CAGI memberships. CAGI News Service will be a continuous, ongoing organization. The Intelligence Service is a quite different ball of wax, folks. Now, tonight, make sure you're paying attention as we continue with our report entitled The Ugly Truth About the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, by the editors of the Executive Intelligence Review. Now, so that you can more accurately judge this information, this report was published in 1992. CAGI has spent a year and a half with 8 of our best operatives investigating the facts published in this report, and we can find absolutely nothing in this report that is not factual, that is not true. It is a complete, factual, true report. It echoes what other people have discovered when they have investigated the ADL. It echoes bits and pieces that we have collected over the years, but they put it all together. We have duplicated their research. It is 100% accurate. And it verifies everything that I have ever said to you, ladies and gentlemen, about how we are manipulated by these people, the Illuminati, the secret societies. For the ADL does not represent the Jewish people. It represents a secret organization, a secret society, a branch of the Illuminati known as B'nai B'rith, controlled by the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. I've been telling you this for a long, long time. Many of the victims of the ADL have been Jews over the years. And as you will see, as you continue to listen to the expose of the ADL, as written in a report by the editors of the Executive Intelligence Review, as you will see, ladies and gentlemen, all of us are being manipulated. And for any of you out there who may be Jewish, this is not an anti-Jewish program. It's not anti-Semitic. And if you blindly support the ADL without thoroughly investigating them, as the Executive Intelligence Review has done and as we have done, it would be exactly the same as if I blindly supported anti-Semitic organizations simply because they claimed to be acting in the best interest of the Caucasian race or of Christianity. So don't be foolish in this. If you've been listening to this program for a long, long time, you know there is no racism here whatsoever. There is no bias for or against any one religion. The only thing we're concerned about here is truth. We want to know who is lying to us, who is deceiving us, who is manipulating us, who is pitting us against each other, who is trying to take our Creator-endowed rights from us, who's trying to destroy the protector of those rights, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government. All of our efforts are toward those ends. And when the common man learns how stupid, ignorant, and apathetic he's been, how easily he's been lied to, how easily he's been deceived, and how easy it is for the puppet masters to pull the strings and make him dance, then we can cast off the yoke of slavery forever, and all peoples will have finally a chance to maybe live together in peace. And that is our only hope, is that we, the common, everyday, ordinary people, learn the secrets that have been held from us by those who call themselves the guardians of the secrets of the ages, of which the ADL, the JDL, B'nai B'rith, the Ku Klux Klan, the White Aryan Movement, British Israelism, black racism, all of these things are manipulations of those who call themselves the ones with the only truly mature minds, and thus the only ones entitled to rule. Tonight, the ADL peddles the New Age. In the summer of 1989, the entire world was reeling in shock and horror over the discovery of a satanic burial ground on a ranch in Matamoros, Mexico. Dozens of mutilated, cannibalized corpses were discovered. The grisly details of the kidnapping and human sacrifice of one of the cult's victims, Texas college student Mark Kilroy, prompted Texas state legislators to draft a law stiffening the penalties for satanic ritualistic crimes and making it a criminal offense to conduct certain occult rituals. The governor of Texas convened a special session of the legislature to get the bill passed. But, ladies and gentlemen, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, while peddling bills all across the country that would make it a crime just to think anti-Semitic thoughts, launched an all-out effort to defeat the Texas crackdown on satanic crimes, branding the bill anti-Semitic. Now, if it was true that the bill was anti-Semitic, it would be an admission by the ADL that Semitic means satanic. However, that's not true, as you will see. Semitic does not mean satanic. However, that's what this reaction by the ADL would imply. In its jaded logic, the ADL claimed that technically the bill made it illegal for rabbis to perform circumcisions on infants. Nothing could have been further from the truth, for not only do Jews practice circumcision upon infants, but most doctors recommend it to all male-born babies in almost every hospital in the country as a hygienic measure. The vast majority of the Jewish community in Texas, including many leading rabbis, refused to buy into the ADL's twisted interpretation and supported the bill as they should have, as good citizens of the state, which most Jewish people are. Some people began to smell a rat, and they were right. Not only has the ADL been an integral part of the organized crime structure that has wrecked America's youth through the peddling of drugs, but as a pivotal institution within the Scottish Rite Freemasonry Southern jurisdiction, the ADL has been a part of the century-old effort to paganize America under a variety of labels: secular humanism, new religions, and most recently, the New Age. Not surprisingly, as investigators probed the higher levels of the New Age plot, they found that the New York City Cathedral of St. John the Divine, the headquarters of ADL patrons Bishop Paul Moore and Canon Edward West, was at the very center of the paganization effort. This is the same cathedral that George Bush used to attend. While nominally part of the Anglican Protestant Episcopal persuasion, the cathedral was actually the underground headquarters of the Luciferian movement in America. Since 1948, ladies and gentlemen, the ADL has devoted over one-third of its legal efforts to support activity that may rightfully be called the plot to kill God. You see, the ADL has filed dozens of amicus curiae, friends of the court briefs, in legal cases often settled by the United States Supreme Court, whose results have included banning school prayer, banning released time for religious instruction, banning Christmas carols and spirituals, banning celebration of Judeo-Christian holidays. Now, do you understand that? Not just Christian, but Judeo-Christian. Jewish. And most recently, banning the Bible as unfit for the classroom, the first five books of which are the Jewish Torah. Causing federal, state, and local governments to be neutral on religious issues, as well as compelling them to cease participation in any display of art associated with the Christian religion, whether during a religious holiday season or other time, and banning prayers in courtrooms together with religious oaths for courts and government officials. While the ADL has concentrated upon uprooting the traditions of Western Christian civilization from public life, in effect, by throwing Christianity out the front door of schools, it has not ever protested as New Age religion has been ushered in the back door now to permeate society. They don't say a word about that. In fact, while condemning any manifestation of Christianity at every turn, the ADL has used First Amendment arguments in court and elsewhere to defend witchcraft and peyote and hallucinogen derived from a type of cactus, cults. The ADL has not acted alone, ladies and gentlemen, in this drive to paganize America. It has enjoyed the assistance of some friends in very, very high places. And don't forget, the ADL is just an arm of B'nai B'rith, which is controlled by the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Some of these friends in high places include the highest court in the land. It began in earnest on February the 10th, 1947, when Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black rendered the majority opinion in the case of Everson versus Board of Education. Black, ladies and gentlemen, who was a lifelong member of the Ku Klux Klan and was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Southern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite, enshrined the following phrase, and I quote, "In the words of Jefferson, the clause against establishment of religion by law was intended to erect a wall of separation between church and state," end quote. During the period of time when the attention of the court seemed to focus on religious clause cases, roughly 1949 to 1956, seven members of the craft, that's Freemasonry, served on the court along with a former Freemason, Justice Sherman Minton. Freemasons continued to dominate the court while most of the decisions to uproot Christianity were made until 1971. The Southern jurisdiction of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, to which the preponderance of Supreme Court justices belonged from the period of 1939 to 1971, is the self-described New Age jurisdiction. And that was their term, ladies and gentlemen, not mine and not the editors of the Executive Intelligence Review. That's what they called themselves. Not coincidentally, the magazine, the publication of the Supreme Council of the Southern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite was entitled The New Age. As Paul A. Fisher aptly demonstrates in his book entitled Behind the Lodge Door, the original intent of the Religious Establishment Clause by the Founding Fathers who shaped this constitutional instrument was to guard against the states establishing a theocracy of the Roman cult variety that would persecute those practicing the tenets of Western Christian civilization upon which the Republic had been founded. Yet through Justice Black's Wall decision in Everson and hundreds of subsequent federal, state, and local rulings, a Manichean religious cult is on the verge of establishing a New Age theocracy in the United States today. The Founding Fathers, ladies and gentlemen, whatever problems may have existed with their religion in that regard, they believed that each individual had been created in imago viva Dei, in the living image of God, with a divine spark of reason, which they expressed in the principle that all men are created equal under God. The fallacy of the wall of separation cult dogma is shown by the Northwest Ordinance passed in 1787 and readopted in 1789, which provided, ladies and gentlemen, that religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged, end quote. And in his farewell address to the nation in 1796, President George Washington declared that, quote, "religion and morality are indispensable supports for political prosperity," end quote, and he warned that we could not expect, quote, "that national morality can prevail in the exclusion of religious principle," end quote. For it is a fact, without religion, there are no morals. Undoubtedly, Justice Hugo Black's Masonically dominated court would have found these sentiments to be unconstitutional. As Justice Black's son said of him, he was a man who, quote, could not whip himself up to a belief in God or the divinity of Christ, life after death, or heaven or hell, end quote. When he first ran for the United States Senate, public condemnation compelled Black on July 9, 1925, to, quote, retire from the Robert E. Lee Klan No. 1, but he closed his letter of resignation to the Kligrap, that's the secretary in the Ku Klux Klan, yours in the sacred, unbreakable bond, end quote. And this man was sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Having won election, Black participated in a secret Klan ceremony witnessed by investigative reporter Ray Spriggle on September the 2nd, 1926, where Senator Black was welcomed back to the Klan with a grand passport of life membership at the Birmingham, Alabama State Klan meeting. At the ceremony, Black swore never to divulge, even under threat of death, the secrets of the invisible empire. And he said, quote, I swear I will most zealously and valiantly shield and preserve by any and all justifiable means and methods white supremacy, all to which I have sworn by this oath, I will seal with my blood, be thou my witness, Almighty God, amen, end quote. Ironically, ladies and gentlemen, although Spriggle's truthful articles were carried in all the major papers, it was the two flagship journals of American liberalism, The Nation and The New Republic, that chose to believe Black's denials that he was a Klan member in the 1920s, in a scandal that continued after President Franklin Delano Roosevelt appointed Senator Black to the Supreme Court in 1937, and since it has been proven. The ADL, ladies and gentlemen, has been among the strongest upholders of lifelong Ku Klux Klan member and Mason Justice Hugo Black's wall of separation decision, beginning a year after the 1947 Everson opinion containing this new language. A history of that involvement can be found in the ADL's pamphlet called Friend of the Court, 1947 to 1982, to secure justice and fair treatment for all, by Jill Donnie Snyder and Eric K. Goodman. In the chapter titled Separation of Church and State, we find the following, and I quote, since 1948, ADL has filed amicus briefs in practically every major church-state case, consistently arguing for a strict interpretation of the Establishment Clause. ADL continues to work for a strict separation of church and state, a commitment that dates back to the League's first involvement in an Establishment Clause dispute, McCollum v. Board of Education. In the Everson opinion, the court emphasized in strong language the parameters of the Establishment Clause. ADL stands firmly committed to a strict separation between church and state. The wall of separation must be fortified and strengthened so that the religious freedom dreamed of by Jefferson and the other founding fathers may endure now and forever, an example to the world. End quote. Among the actions in which the ADL has been the historic friend of a Masonically dominated court and of KKK or Justice Black's wall reinterpretation of the Establishment Clause are 1. Released time. From the 1948 McCollum case until the present day, the ADL has fought release time from schools, which gives a release for students to participate in religious education. One of the most recent cases was Doe v. Human, which was affirmed when the Supreme Court refused to hear it, and in which the ADL had filed an amicus brief. It resulted in the school system of Gravette, Arkansas, having to end the practice of released time for religious instruction in the schools on a voluntary basis requiring parental approval. In its pamphlet, ADL and the Courts, Litigation Docket 1991, the ADL states that this story time program in Gravette, quote, presents at least 2 inescapable infringements on the Establishment Clause: impermissible inclusion of religion in the public schools, and forbidden state indoctrination of a particular faith, end quote. Paul D. Heumann, the superintendent of schools in Gravette, told a reporter for Executive Intelligence Review, quote, by such cases, the stage is being set for a one-world religion. Kids are being brainwashed to death by the New Age religions, and it has become harder and harder to take a Christian stand. There is no question but that the real agenda of groups like the ADL is to usher in the New Age. The more the New Age is brought in, the lesser the boundaries on moral action. If it's right for you, it's right is the guideline of the New Age. Moral principles are thrown out the window. 2. Parochial aid. The question of public aid for parochial schools was the centerpiece of the Everson decision written by Justice Hugo Black, and there have been dozens of parochial aid suits since then. For over 30 years, one of the ADL's strongest allies in such cases has been Americans United for Separation of Church and State. According to the managing editor of the Scottish Rite Journal, Dr. John W. Bocher, Sovereign Grand Commander C. Fred Kleinecht relied heavily upon the staff of Americans United for Separation of Church and State to write his call to arms in the November 1991 issue defending Jefferson's, quote, wall of separation, end quote, which Kleinecht calls the cornerstone of the Constitution. Now remember, this is the chief high muckety-muck of the Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction of Freemasonry. Boettger is himself a member of the National Advisory Council of Americans United Against Church and State that has worked closely with the ADL. Another collaborator of Americans United is Greg Ivers, who wrote the recent ADL call to arms, which parallels that of Supreme Commander Kleinecht, titled Lowering the Wall, Religion in the Supreme Court in the 1980s. The full import, ladies and gentlemen, of Justice Black's membership in the Southern jurisdiction, New Age, religious cult, and that's exactly what it is, the New Age religious cult, emerges in a letter that 33rd degree Mason and Grand Prior of the Supreme Council Scottish Rite, McIlyer H. Licklider, wrote to Justice Harold Burton 2 years after Everson. The letter described Licklider's pilgrimage to the tomb of Jacques de Molay, who had been Grand Master of the Knights Templar. De Molay was condemned as a heretic after Pope Clement V and the French King Philip le Bel ordered an investigation, which discovered that upon initiation into this crusading order, members were required to spit upon an image of Christ's face. The Templars were shown to be a Manichean cult, practicing a form of the Middle Eastern Baphomet paganism as an initiation into their inner secrets. You see, their research has confirmed exactly my research and the research of CAGI members that resulted in over 40 hours of airtime of our Mystery Babylon series. After Jacques de Molay was executed in 1314 as 19th century Scottish Rite Supreme Commander, General Albert Pike stated in his book, Morals and Dogma, renegade Templars traveling to Scotland helped King Bruce found a precursor of the Scottish Rite, which is also part of the ritual of the New Age Southern jurisdiction known as the 30th degree Knight Kadash, otherwise known as the Holy Knight, Knight of the Temple, and Degree of Revenge. According to Pike, the Knights Templar were from the very beginning devoted to opposition to the tiara of Rome and the crown of its chiefs. Their object, Pike said, was to acquire influence and wealth, then to intrigue, and at need fight to establish the Johnite or Gnostic and Kabbalistic dogma. Isn't it strange that everybody who investigates these secret societies ends up at the same door with the same facts? According to author Paul Fisher, the former Grand Commander of the Scottish Rite, Pike, also asserted that the secret movers of the French Revolution had sworn upon the tomb of de Molay to overthrow throne and altar. Then when King Louis XVI of France was executed in 1793, half the work was done. Thenceforward, the army of the Temple was to direct all its efforts against the Pope. Well, you're all sitting out there, and your worst nightmares are coming true all around you, in the newspapers, during this broadcast. When you go to the store, you find that your dollar is worth less and less. You find that your income is shrinking. You find that taxes are increasing and hidden taxes that you can't even discover are taking big chunks out of your paycheck. Government is exerting more and more control over every single aspect of your entire life, from the time you get up in the morning, even until after you have gone to bed at night. You know that something terrible is coming, for as I travel around this country, people I've never seen before, they've never heard me. They see an ad in a newspaper or something, they come to my lecture, and before I've even said a word, they come up to me and say, "Mr. Cooper, I've never heard anything that you've ever said, but I know something is deeply wrong in this country. I can feel it in my gut, and I hope that you are going to finally tell me what it is." I've been attempting to do that for many years now. And I'm warning you, the greatest weapon they have against the middle class in this country, against all of us who are free, is the economy. They will pull the plug. When they do, if you have not prepared for that occasion, you will be devastated, and I fully expect that many Americans who are sitting in their living room listening to this broadcast right now saying, "This can't possibly be true. It can never happen in America, and it certainly won't happen to me." I fully believe that some of those people will absolutely lose their mind when they realize the depths into which they can be thrown literally overnight. Now, I urge you to call the sponsors of the Hour of the Time, Swiss America Trading, who have stuck with us through thick and thin. They believe in the message that I am attempting to deliver to the American people and to the world. They've taken a lot of flack because of this broadcast, and they'll take a lot more. But you see, they really believe that what we are attempting to do here is right. When they listen to this broadcast, they hear things that they can't hear anywhere else. They know that there's no fear behind this microphone. And they know that I will deliver whatever message is required, whenever it is required, and that it will be, to the very best of my ability, the truth. Now, if you realize real worth from this program, if you understand this message, if you deal with someone, I hope that it will be with Swiss America Trading. But if for some reason you cannot or don't want to or can't get along with whoever you're talking to at Swiss America Trading, I want you to deal with someone. I don't care who it is, and I don't care where they're at. You see, if you're not prepared, you can't help us in the final battle that is to come. You'll be devastated, and we will not be able to reach out and help you, or we will bring ourselves down to your level, and we need what we have to fight the battle. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. It will take a tremendous weight off your shoulders. You will be able to rest more peacefully. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be very, very, very glad that you did.